hear you. Let me just also just check the chairperson again, because I also resent the link to her email. I'm wondering what's happening with her.
Thank you.
Just a second. Maybe members can have a conversation about this whilst I'm trying to check the chairperson. Maybe within a minute or two, there will be a solution. Sorry, bro. Just accepted the chairperson now.
Chairperson
is on the platform now.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good morning, chairperson. Good morning, chairperson.
I'm saying good morning. To connect, I ended up using a phone. I can't connect on the laptop. There's a problem in terms of the connectivity here. I can't use the Wi-Fi here. But I hotspotted, still I'm experiencing a problem, but it's not a trench mesh. Can you please flag the agenda and welcome the members' vision when we find ourselves in a situation like this? Thank you so much. And you responded very well.
Hello, Chair. Hello, Chairperson. If you hear me, you are not audible anymore now. Earlier on, you were breaking, hence I was trying to draw your attention. I don't know whether it's me or other members can hear you.
Luba Balo or Willie Okombe, it's clear that we will have problems.
It's time because
we will have problems with Dikileri's reception. Maybe we must ask Honorable Njari to continue.
Okay, I hear you, Honorable Okombe.
Mr.
Proposal in the table, over to you.
Hello. Hi, it's Eunice. Lubabalo, it's Eunice.
Yes, Chairperson, I can hear you.
I'm also having a slight problem, so I'm going to keep my video off, unfortunately. Look, I think one option might be to connect the chairperson to the meeting via a speakerphone. In other words, your phone, because she should be here, really, because she's been processing this report with the team. So I don't think we should leave her out. And I know there are some issues that she feels strongly about, and we should give her the space to say what she wants to say. So I suggest we include her via speakerphone. Thank you. Unless you shared those issues, Minister Njadu, I don't know. Thank you.
Okay, I hear you, Chair. Let me speak to the chairperson. And take your suggestion and just use my phone to connect her here so that she can speak. I'm sure she will be audible. test the sound, Chair. Can you speak to the committee? Okay. Just a second, Chair. Let me put it on a speakerphone, Chair. Try, please try, Chair, okay?
Hello.
Honourable members, is the Chair audible?
Yeah, it's not really good enough, Lubabalo, you know, to go through a whole meeting with a chairperson barely audible. We're going to be training over our laptops. You know, I got up early to go to Parliament so I could participate fully in this meeting.
Okay. Hello, Chairperson. Hello, Chairperson.
Hello, Lubabalo. Can you hear me now? I hope members can hear me.
You are perfect now, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
The meeting.
I can hear you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your indulgence, honorable members. When I started, you couldn't hear me. I welcomed you and appreciated your response in terms of the change of time. I know it was an inconvenience to most of you because we were planning to start at 9. And I'm avoiding everything possible that we don't start at 9, so that by 10 o'clock, all of us were in the house. Having said that, honorable members, can I check if there are apologies?
Hello, Chairperson. Hello, Chair.
Yes, Lubabalo.
We have the full complement of the committee, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Lubabalo. We are going to deal with three items: consideration and adoption of the draft report on adjustment appropriation bill B20, and consideration and adoption of the draft report on proposed division of revenue and conditional grants allocation to provinces and local government. And lastly, consideration of draft minutes of previous meetings on the 3rd and 10th December 2021. Let me thank honorable members who have responded or make comments or suggestion on the report that we have received. Can you start with the first report? Can you flag the report, Lubabalo? Am I still audible?
You are, Chair.
Thank you. As usual, honorable members, I will propose that we go to observations and recommendations.
Chair, before we do that, if I can ask, I did ask that we just reflect on paragraph 4.4 briefly.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that 4.4.
Yeah, we don't need to look at it specifically, Chairperson. It just relates to the, if I may go ahead, Chair.
Yes, you can.
Thank you very much.
4.4, can you flag it? Yes, yeah. You can go on, sir.
Thank you very much, Jay. Look, it just relates to the inputs from the People's Budget Collaborative. And, you know, I did want to reflect a little bit on their inputs. And, you know, public participation is not supposed to be comfortable. Public participation is supposed to challenge us. And, you know, whilst I certainly didn't agree with all of the inputs from the People's Budget Collaborative, and I definitely didn't agree with their behavior, you know, I do think they had every right to attend and to present as they felt so they saw fit. Now, I do think that their chosen attitude in delivery actually did them a great disservice, because I think they had some very good messages, but the focus was shifted from the content into the way it was presented. But that, of course, is a personal opinion, and again, they had every right to behave as they saw fit. We've all seen firebrand activists, you know, getting their message away in the way they deem will be most effective. But I do, Chair, want to reflect on the fact that I think that the Honourable Karim got the short end of the stick. And I think that this may well be the only time on earth where I come up in support of the Honourable Karim. But I do think that he received the short end of the stick as one of the people that has highlighted some of the issues that we were dealing with on the day. And then, you know, to be attacked the way he was, I thought was inappropriate. Chair, and I do want to make the point quite strongly that I think that the committee was extremely accommodating of the People's Budget Collaborative. And in fact, that, you know, they were given a huge amount of time, three times the amount of Kasatu in order to make their presentations. And I do think that, you know, they made the point that they felt that they represented a big group, et cetera, et cetera. Chair, and I think people need to be, need to adhere to our meeting norms and so on when they come to present here. Because realistically, I think Kasatu represents a far bigger membership than the People's Budget. I think ARTA probably also has a bigger membership than they do. But, you know, having said all that, let's get the meetings in a way that we can enforce order going forward and make sure that we, you know, give people enough space to debate but still retain a degree of order within our meetings. That's my comments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Anyone who wants to say something, Members? On the matter?
Chairperson, just before to say
you,
that, look,
Honorable, yeah. Before you, can I check if there's anyone else who wants to say something? Maybe I should do it vice versa. I will give you the last chance to speak on the matter, Honorable Karim, because I don't know, because I usually agree with some of the issues that Honorable Ryder say, but he said that it's for the first time that he will agree with you or he comes to your defense. But I don't see it as a defense, and I see it as a defense of the committee. But having said that, you are very much correct, Honorable Ryder. Public hearings are not comfortable, but also we have the rules. If we invite public people or organizations or whoever to come and make presentations, and they need us to treat them with the respect that they think they deserve, they have to earn it. It's not a given. The tantrums that were thrown in the meetings made the meeting to shift the focus on the main issue. And I thought I was accommodative enough because I could read the language, the tension that we're here to say what we want to say. And I said to the members to say, we will have to draw in the sector committee, the relevant sector committee to deal with their issues, because those are issues that are relevant to the sector committee on education, but more so they are operational. But the most of the matters that they've raised, they are not relevant to our issues. We just found ourselves having allowed them to come in to take the bullet when it was not meant for us. And I want to say on behalf of this committee to say, each time we need to be, as much as we need to be on our toes, but we need to help each other to protect our meetings, not to deteriorate the way they did. I was cut off, but I was briefed what happened afterwards, because I wanted to address the said organization, the speaker of the said organization or the presenter. But I made to understand that he or they came back again. So sometimes we don't need such bitterness, an attitude. We just need to differ and try to find each other in a respectful manner. What the language that is not allowed in the house is not allowed even in this committee. So such rules need to be applied. I do agree with you. And I really felt bad after what I heard that Honorable Karim was singled out and attacked. The chairperson was talked over. It's fine. We'll take the bullets. But come next time, we must not allow such things to happen. Can I hear Honorable Okam? Do you want to say something in brief?
No, Chair. I just want to congratulate you on a very quick correction that you made there with your gender address. So, yeah, no, very well done.
yeah, like I told you, I'm also a gender activist, so I can understand. You need to teach each other. Thank you. Honorable Karim?
Chairperson, I'm sorry about my video. Just to say, look, firstly, I must thank Mr. Ryder for his comments. I would have done the same, as he probably knows, if the roles were reversed then. Firstly. Secondly, I don't want to respond to all the issues. There is one apology from me beyond what I said, which I accidentally used the word cheap. It was unintended. There was no malice. And also, I saw something in the chat group that said that the person concerned, or the persons concerned rather, they actually exited because of some injury or disability or some such thing. And if that's the case, that's fine. We should have been told. But I think what, in a way, Mr. Ryder, Dennis has anticipated maybe. I want to explain that I spoke to you about hostile, not about that so much as what I think we should put in the report, which is absent. And since we are there now, instead of dealing with that particular issue, we should deal with the broader issues of the relevant community. The LGBTQIA+, also got it in the rush that I was speaking. Also, I apologize, Chairperson. The point of order there wasn't so much that the person was misrepresenting what I had said. Completely, they were misrepresenting what I had said. But to claim that there's potential racism here, that's a point of order. That's what I should have appealed to you. But the way it came out was wrong, and you were right to say, okay, let's move on. But actually, to accuse somebody of potential racism means you must justify it, whether you're a committee member or a civil society activist, any more than we can't accuse. Remember, there was a case last year where a member of parliament called a civil society activist, a leader of a trade union federation, a liar. And Frank Jenkins said, yes, he has to either withdraw that or leave. You'll recall that, right? There was a ruling that we had in the last term. So I think really what we should make very clear, Chairperson, and Dennis is right, I, as you might know, Comrade Chair, and for my sins, the chair of the Constitutional Commission of the SACP, Dennis might say, what constitutional commission in the Communist Party? But anyway, we do have a constitution. And it was I who insisted we put he stroke they stroke, he don't stroke she or she stroke he they, right? So that there's consciousness aroused. People will actually, we just see they. Some people, Chairperson, will not understand the meaning of the word they. They might even think it's a grammatically incorrect word. But if you for a few years say she stroke, he stroke, they, you're making people aware that there are people out there who've got multiple gender or sexual identities. And we have to respect their rights. They're a minority, marginalized community. So I think, Chairperson, in section 614, we should say something since we're there. Let's deal with the issues, really. Something about the committee, the text says the committee fully supports gender budgeting and gender mainstreaming. I've just started typing it now, so it's a bit clumsy. Pelalani and others, Dennis and whoever else, yourself can tighten it. Something like, the committee fully supports the rights, needs, and interests of the LGBTQIA plus community and requests National Treasury to in future explicitly set out what cross-cutting funding furthers this. The National Treasury and Cabinet should look into these matters very closely during the 2022 MTEF. Actually, to begin to look at it in the budget, really, we should change that. Then we should say a generic thing. Let's not focus on them. The committee fully recognizes, I don't have the wording properly, that this parliament belongs to the people of this country and public participation is crucial, the sort of point Dennis made, to our effective functioning, and something like, while the committee welcomes and encourages civil society to engage robustly with us, this has to be done in a way that's consistent with Parliament's rules, norms, and procedures, and with the necessary decorum. While civil society must be fully heard and its views given due consideration, ultimately, in a democracy, it's elected MPs that have to take the final decisions after taking into account various competing interests, and so on. We can add some. Chairperson, I agree entirely with Dennis. They have a right to come here. This is their parliament, right? It's just, as you yourself raised, Chairperson, it's depressing almost that only two submissions came in an oral form. And we even admitted how weak and ineffective we've been over the years, why people have been alienated. We said all of those things. The only other observation to make is, Chairperson, I think they misunderstood. That is why at some stage you might want to ring them. I think they misunderstood what the adjustments appropriations budget is. They were wanting changes now that go beyond what's there, instead of saying these are things that should go in the next 3-year cycle. And sometimes they seem to confuse the role of parliament and the executive. And strictly, Chairperson, I hold this view, maybe a minority view, as much as we've got an important role, they should go to the NA and fight their battles there. So the issue wasn't their needs, interests, and demands. That's not the problem. It's the way they dealt with it, really. So it's about the one particular day. Right? It's not about their needs. We must support it, Chairperson. And what I tried to say finally, Chairperson, we've gone quite far, and I hold by that view, Chairperson, on gay rights in a country like ours, right? In the developing world, or on abortion, on the abolition of the death penalty. So in that sense, I wholly hold to the view. I'm not saying in practice it's happened. I even said all those things. So what I'm saying, Chairperson, is, it's probably true, and I can't pretend, even though I've been around for so long, that I fully understand the people that I come from. Let's take my province, isiZulu-speaking people, right? I can't speak for them in the way others who live there in the rural areas and others who live in the townships can. So similarly, I think, Chairperson, it's not about their issues, it's about the way they manage the process. And finally, Chairperson, I agree with Dennis. Who can disagree with most of the things that PBC said? We keep saying we agree with you in values and principles, but in practice, we don't know how to balance it out, the needs and interests of others. So, you know, we can even say something, Chairperson, that while we agree, we have to find, you know, the balancing. And they're right, that part of our problem, as we ourselves admit, is the corruption and the mismanagement. But that's not solely the reasons why we can't deliver. So in short, I don't think there's disagreement. This is not about me, ultimately. It's about the committee and our relationship with civil society. And at some stage, Chairperson, If you think it appropriate, I think you should meet with them over the phone, have a little chat with them. And maybe we can even mandate you to have a chat with them and tell them, no, we don't have a problem with the things you say, but it's the way you do it. They didn't seem to understand, Chairperson. At one stage, they said there are two other people brought. I think what they did is they brought in people, African people from their community to express a point of view. And we're demanding to speak. And to be fair, you were not here. And I don't know how Lubabalo informed you about what really happened. I didn't tell you about that. I was focusing on the content issues. So I don't know what Lubabalo told you. But the fact of the matter is, Lubabalo intervened as he must, as a secretary, to say these are the rules. They were given two opportunities to speak. We were given two opportunities to speak. So they have been balanced. If the chairperson in Jadu had asked them to speak, then we would have had the right of reply to that. So basically, chairperson, I can't see any fault in the way you chaired the meeting. Mr. Njadu may have probably explained to them or Lubabalo a bit more, but I don't think they understand parliamentary protocol anywhere in any democracy. Let's take Sweden. Finally, I do share their values. The funny thing is, I'm one of the people who've been arguing for this for 5 to 10 years now, right? So in that sense, Dennis is absolutely right. And chairperson, can I finally say, on my word of honor, I had no idea what the PBC was. I only looked at night at it when I saw the text that I received from Esther said he, she, and I said, no, we got to put they, right? So it's purely coincidental. I didn't know they were going to come the next day. But, you know, basically, chairperson, we also need to upgrade. As we had to do when we dealt with gender, gay rights earlier, we had to, like, now that we've taken the policy decision, you know, we had to like adjust and adapt and learn the language and understand more, as we have to do with this community. Thank you very much. I didn't mean to go on for so long, but it did set a precedent. And the 50 years, how many years, 27 years I've been in Parliament, Chairperson, I have never come across such a thing. And finally, Chairperson, I can take criticism personally anytime. I told you last night that there was a trade unionist who tore into me, right? And I just told the members, no, it's not a point of order. That's his right. They were right to say we're idiots. They were right to say we're incompetent. They were right to say we can't function properly, yes. But they can't accuse of potential racism and so on. I mean, that's outrageous. Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry to go on for so long.
Thank you, Honorable Karim. I think we are on the same page with the matter, 4.4. Can we go to 5.1? Honorable Ryder, 5.1.
Chair, thank you very much. Yeah, no, it was just, it's actually just to emphasize the fact, the paragraph is fine as it is, just to emphasize the fact that one of the key departments that's in default of its own guidelines is National Treasury. But no, it was just for emphasis, Chair.
Okay, thank you. The next item that you have identified, it's 6.2. Lubabalo, 6.2. There you are. Honorable Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. It was actually 6.1 that I wanted to comment on, not 5.1. So I beg your pardon for that. Good.
Okay.
Chairperson.
So you can go on.
Thank you very much. Chair, so just in terms of this paragraph, the National Treasury should ensure that any movements of fund is always done according to the provisions, and then the community does not support.
Any movement of funds emanating from poor planning and performance by government. Yeah.
No, Chair. This paragraph is it looks like it may have changed from the draft that I was working on. So this is okay. This is in order. Apologies, Chair.
Sure. And 6.2 and 3.
Chair.
Yeah.
6.2 appears to contradict itself because it says the National Treasury should approve the rollover amount of 2.8 billion in line with the thing. And then at the end, it says rolling over of funds due to poor management cannot be allowed. So the paragraph seems to contradict itself. And I was just wondering what the rest of the committee thought about that. You know, they must approve it, but it shouldn't be allowed, is what we're saying there.
Hello, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Njatu.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Yeah, I just want to say on 6.2, I think when we engage with National Treasury around the rollovers, it was emphasized in terms of, when I read the first part of the paragraph, in line with the Public Finance Management Act and Treasury relations for projects that have already been committed. So I think that was the emphasis that National Treasury was giving to say that if there are commitments, then the rollovers then are approved based on commitments. Thank you, Chair.
So there was a justification, 2.8 from Treasury. Okay, who's calling for my attention?
2.2, yeah.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'll put my hand up just very quickly. Mr. Njani is right, and so is Dennis, right? So I think it could be misunderstood. I think what we're meaning to say here is that where there's commitment and there's near completion, meaning there is progress and there are difficulties that don't warrant not allowing a rollover, which is very different from the next sentence. So we should maybe put on the other hand, comma, rolling over funds due to poor management, planning, and execution cannot be allowed. That's on the other hand, that's a separate category of people where we're saying rollover could not be allowed, as from where rollovers could be allowed. I think that's the intention.
Yeah, I think it says the 2.8 is allowed as per the Public Finance Management Act and Treasury regulations. It was justified. Palelani, Mr. Dlomo, do you understand what the proposal is here?
Morning, Chair. Morning, honorable members. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. I do agree, Chair. I understand the proposal. But safe to say that the matter was deliberated between the committee and Treasury. And also the recommendation is actually in line with the requirements of the Treasury regulations and the Public Finance Management Act. So the committee can't recommend anything outside the prescript or the legal prescript regulating financial management. However, the second part of the sentence or of the paragraph, it tries to eliminate any chances of having a rollover based on poor planning, based on poor project management and other issues. But those that are in line with the prescript of the Public Finance Management Act and Treasury regulations are allowed, which are those that are nearly completion and those that have been committed, funds that have been committed in programs, in project. But also, Chair, I must stress also that National Treasury follows a very rigorous process in approving rollovers. So in any case, when they approve, before they approve rollovers, they do ensure that those rollovers are in line with the legal prescript regulating financial management. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable members, I can understand your argument. Can we try to rephrase or come to an understanding that anybody who is not part of this committee and comes across this paragraph will be able to understand what we are trying to say?
Chair, I believe the amendment on the screen covers it adequately.
The amendment, okay.
The one on the screen, Chair, where they've added the word however to the paragraph, I think that covers it quite well.
Yeah. Okay. 6.3, Honorable Ryder.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, this paragraph says that National Treasury and the Department of Social Development should consider extending the 350 Rand social relief of distress grant beyond March 2022, depending on the COVID-19 impact. I would like to say, and financial affordability. I think the affordability to Treasury is a key component that needs to also be mentioned there.
So you think the economic recovery plans is not addressing that? Depending on the COVID-19 impact and economic recovery plans.
Chair, I'm putting a proposal forward that we just add to that, yes, and affordability.
Okay. Members, do you agree? We don't have to waste more time just to add that. Thank you.
I support the proposal.
Okay, Honorable Dutoit.
I support the proposal of Honorable Ryder, Chair.
Okay, 6.5.
Chairperson, my hand's been up again. If Lubabalo can just...
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. It must help you to do. Either we put our hands up or we intervene. I really don't mind. I can intervene. It's not a big deal, just to save time. Okay, so basically, I understand where they're going. To a certain extent, I agree. But you see, the thing about affordability is that it gets reduced to simple rands and cents. And National Treasury's approach, like most treasuries throughout the world, is simply that, without considering the social and political costs at times. So I get what people are saying. You've already covered by economic recovery plans. So, you know, I think, you know, we mustn't open the door. Chairperson, you know, I know we are severely stressed, but 350 rands is pathetic, really. But given the large numbers of people, I think there are 9 million to 10 million takers at the moment, it's a huge amount, which, excuse me, we cannot easily afford to. But affordability is not the right word. I feel we should rather say something like, depending on the COVID-19, actually, I don't even think depending on the COVID-19 impact. It's not even consistent with what we've been saying, where we say we want a grant, a basic income grant, right? But what we might want to say, Chair, because I don't want to belabor the point, if you really want to say depending on the COVID-19 impact, fine. My own view would be beyond March 22, comma, taking into account budgetary constraints. That's a broader term than affordability, which then gets reduced. When you talk of budgetary constraints, it's a generic point. That means you can decide you're going to give people 350 rands because if you don't, it's going to be even worse. We've covered that ground before, even though we don't have money. The cost will be even more to society. Look at the July unrest. Yes, there's multiple reasons for it, but at least one reason for it. Sorry, at least one reason for it. Sorry. Chairperson? I'm not sure what's going on there, but fine. Okay, I won't say anything more. I'm just saying, why can't we say something like taking budgetary constraints into account? Do you understand what I'm saying, Chairperson? It's not about financial affordability of the 350 Rand per person. It's about the whole budget. And therefore, you can make choices. You can decide you don't want to give some money to support international relations, spending on, I don't know, luxuries for department staff and MPs or whatever, and give it to the poor. That's what I'm saying. So the whole budget, not just financial affordability of the 350. We're covering okay. The DA, really.
Chairperson?
Yeah.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Njatu.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think when we argue this point, I think we must just try not to be straight focusing on the specific of the 350. I would fully agree with Honorable Karim, because if we look in terms of it holistic, the 350 rand is nothing. for if we compare to as what is happening on the ground in terms of people are struggling during this time of COVID. So I don't think we must argue in as if we people have to, it's a manner of like people begging. But we must argue in a budgetary perspective. Account budgetary constraints. So I would rather that we take out affordability, because in affordability.
Yeah, I see.
Sorry?
I see Honorable Ryder is agreeing with you.
Yes. Can we take out an affordability and only say account budgetary constraints and depending on the COVID-19 impact and economic recovery plans? Then we end it there.
Okay.
Chairperson?
Who's that?
Mletsane.
Okay. Mletsane.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm agreeing with what Honorable Njari is saying, that we must do away with that depending on the budget affordability. Thank you.
Thank you. What number was that? 6.3. Can you go to 6.5?
Chairperson, before we go on, Chairperson, can I just quickly raise something, right? Something to think about as a committee. You see, we keep saying these things. We're going to go around in circles, right? There's a sense in which we are a bit limp in what we say. We note and then we suggest and so on. We need to be a bit more decisive. So, for example, what's wrong in saying, not in the report, but as a minuted, that we are now asking the PBO to look at where we could save money in order to give the 350 rands. For example, international relations, or I don't know what, Chairperson. So why can't we mandate the PBO to do a study over the next 6 months to tell us where we could save money so that we can afford this grant? I don't know what you feel, Chairperson, but I mean, otherwise we're going to be getting around. They'll say there's budgetary constraints. We're going to say yes, but if we don't give the money, it's going to be even worse and cost you more as the National Treasury financially, because you have to come and rescue these unrests and whatever else breaks out. So why can't we ask the PBO to do it and guide us technically and financially?
Does the committee agree with the suggestion? I think it's progressive enough.
No, Chair.
Chair.
Honorable Titoit.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if we agree to this, then we're making more people dependent on government. This is supposed to be a helpline that's given to people as a result of the impact regulations and the economic situation that the country currently finds itself in. We cannot make it lawful, if I can put it that way. I think that's a bit harsh. But we cannot insist that people get 350 rand social relief from government. Why is government not rather looking at implementing ways to open up the economy, lift the restrictions, do away with stringent labor laws to enable the economy to thrive? Now we're putting more strain on the economy by insisting that PBO looks into ways to make the 350 rand affordable, taxing the taxpayer that's already taxed so much more. I cannot agree with the proposal of the Honorable Karim, Chair.
Honorable Chair?
Chair, if I can come in as well.
Honorable Chair?
Honorable Njadu?
Honorable Chair, I think we must look at this point at both sides of the coin. Because we are in a COVID-19, it's based on the COVID-19 situation. And then the argument is there based on that. It's a distress grant. So I think Honorable the Tuwait is agreeing with Honorable Karim that we must make us PBO to look into the matter. But this must be understood. It is a social relief distress grant, which is assisting people during this time of COVID-19. So I think let's look at it from that perspective. So, but we need to do a study on this and to look at how are we going to move forward, going forward? Because we're still going to live in this COVID-19 for a very long time.
Okay, Honorable Rada.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think that Mr. Karim, Mr. Detoy, and Mr. Njadu are all correct. And I think that perhaps, you know, we're busy with discussions around not only the 350 Rand additional allocation, but there are discussions around a thing called the basic income grant as well. So I think that perhaps we do need to ask the PBO to give us some insights in terms of affordability of all of these things going forward, because this is going to come before us in due course anyway. And I do believe that whether it's 350 Rand or a different basic income grant that comes to this committee, we're going to need to be informed and well-informed as to, you know, what can be cut, because any budgetary adjustment requires a give and take. So in order to come up with that, there will be sacrifices needed. And I think Honorable Toy is quite right, is that, you know, in terms of the cost versus the benefit, what is the actual situation going to be? The PBO is well positioned, providing that they do in fact behave as an independent body during their investigation. They don't try and force their ideas upon us, but to actually consult widely and research widely and so on. And you know this ties in as well, to a degree, with the zero-based budgeting principle that the government is, or the Treasury has put forward. The fact that every department needs to go and have a look at the cost and benefit of each program that runs under its umbrella and determine whether that is something that needs to continue going forward. So absolutely, let's have a look which programs can be cut without causing service delivery issues, without creating further burdens on taxpayers, which will still mean that government can provide its services. I think that you know, taking all three opinions together, the PBO would be or should be well placed to put together some sort of a research document. And please, I would prefer, if we don't limit it to the 350, let's talk a little bit more about grant funding. The social grant funding on a wider scale. So that would be my proposal, is that we slightly broaden that scope beyond just the 350. Thank you, Chair. But I support Mr. Karim.
I think we agree that the social relief, we would like it to be extended beyond the set time of March 22nd. But considering that we mandate or we request a PBO to make a research to inform us to can have a suggestion or a decision that carries weight, that is informed. And I think after that research done by PBO, it will be brought back to the committee and we will discuss it and see if we agree with it or not, and try to send it to or resolve on it for Treasury. Are you comfortable with that, Honorable Detoit? Can you move?
Chairperson, can I just come in?
I'm not comfortable, but it's obvious that I'm the minority voice at this stage. The short and the long is that currently, the country is being misled with what is going on at this stage with regards to COVID, et cetera. I mean, more people are being murdered on a daily basis in South Africa than people that pass away from so-called COVID-related diseases or that. I posed a question to the Honorable Dlamini Zuma with regards to the upliftment of the disaster period when herd immunity is reached. I asked her if herd immunity is reached in the country, will the disaster period be stopped? And the question that I received was, no, it will not be stopped. So, I mean, this is a carrot that's being held in front of so many people's noses. And it's evident that what government is currently doing is making more and more people dependent on government and worsening the state of living for everyone in the country, and then soothing those wounds with ointment of 350 rand. I'm not being inhumane, Chair. If I think if there's someone that understands how hungry people look, I'm dealing with them on a daily basis. I do have a heart for people, but what government is currently doing is making more and more people dependent on government. And they are creating, government is creating this situation. I cannot approve for the 350 rand to be implemented, and we must go with the 350 until the end of time, whilst government is creating a situation where people are being more and more dependent on this. I strongly suggest that this committee makes a suggestion to PBO and to government and to Minister Dlamini Zuma to go and see if it is necessary to have the stringent regulations that we currently have. And then to the Department of Labour, the Minister of Labour, to see if the current labour regulations is necessary. What must we do to open up the economy? All of you, I hope, have seen the report and the response from the IMF with regards to what's currently going on in South Africa. Government is slitting the throat of the people, and I cannot just go with it. I cannot support this change.
Okay. Honorable Karim, you have to be the last one on the matter.
Yeah, firstly, obviously the Freedom Front Plus is entitled to its views, right? But firstly, I don't think anybody in government or parliament or the political parties wants people to be dependent on a nanny state. We are where we are. We, as the ANC, must take responsibility for that. I agree. We, the governing party, we, the majority party in parliament. So we agree. Obviously, we want the economy to grow, jobs to be created, investment to come in to create those jobs, and we want employment. Nobody wants to be dependent on grants. Well, most people don't. It's dehumanizing, and it doesn't allow them to fulfill their potential. The first thing is grow the economy, create the conditions for that, get investment, get jobs. We all agree. But in the meanwhile, this is what we have to do. And so long as they are poor and marginalized people, as they are in the developed world, right, we will have to cater for them. That's humanity, in my view, and the view of a significant majority, I think, in this country. So that's the first thing. Secondly, all we're asking the PBO to do is to do a study. That's all. Is it viable? And if so, how? And if not, why? That's what we're asking them to do, right? Thirdly, you know what? Basically, Dennis is absolutely right. We're not talking so much about the 350. So our mandate should be how viable is the 350 extension, but more importantly, a basic income grant. That's on the agenda. The next point, as a committee, as a majority, notwithstanding Freedom Front Plus's views, which they're entitled to, we have repeatedly said in the last two appropriations reports, I think we repeated it in February this year, that taking into consideration budgetary and other constraints, economic growth and so on, we believe that government should seriously consider a basic income grant. That is the view of the majority in this committee. It's a standing position. Now, we go on and on in saying the same thing, Chairperson, but we're not doing anything about it. So let's get the PBO. And finally, you know, Dennis, you need to move on, my friend. He goes on and on about how non-independent the Treasury, I mean, the PBO is. There's nothing, I keep arguing with him, Chairperson, there's nothing wrong in the PBO saying that you need more state involvement. National Treasury doesn't have the monopoly of wisdom any more than PBO. That's their right. Ask Frank Jenkins, right? I mean, why doesn't Dennis have a chit-chat with Frank? That's their independent view. They can't force it on us, and they won't be able to, not with this committee, not with the committee in the NA side, right? So it's not going to happen. They have done very good work, Chairperson, to remind people. Finally, they have done very good work on previous issues. You will recall they were asked to do various projects on the public sector wage thing in our last term. They did a very nice report on whether it's doable or not, et cetera, and how you manage public sector wage bills with other considerations and how they do or do not contribute to the growth of the economy. So they did do a very good project. You will recall, Chairperson, we had to consider it. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we agree based on the majority of the members in the committee that will request the PBO to do the study. 6.5, Honorable Ryder, please members note the time.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to add the word supporting to this, to say noting and supporting Kasatu's proposal, because I think all of us want to see a clear and realistic plan to actually spend the money that gets allocated to education to upgrade the water and sanitation. So noting and supporting is my only proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Can I hear from other members with that addition? We will note and support. Honourable members?
Agree.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think this is the, we support, Chair.
Okay, thank you. 6.6.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think that you know, broadly, probably this is something that we all really agree on, but I want to come in and make a point and say that this is a very broad stroke that we're putting out there. And it says there, the committee notes Kasatu's recommendation that given the current economic condition, National Treasury and Cabinet should investigate or should explore implementing a 25% package cut for members of the Cabinet, provincial executive and mayoral committees, as well as executive managers in the state entities, state-owned entities and metros. And I want to agree with that, but just to emphasize that last line where it says metros, because the reality is, Chair, if one considers some of the salary offerings that there are for executive managers in the grade 3 and even 4 municipalities, the difficulty with attracting good staff to the grade 3 and 4 municipalities is extremely limited, because one finds that the that is not financially attractive to suitably qualified people, and they would earn more in the private sector. So I do want to state specifically that the lower grade municipalities, and the same goes for mayors and MMCs in those grades, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 level municipalities, they're not well remunerated considering the levels of responsibility that they're given. And I don't want an across the board thing that affects all municipalities. I want to be specific only to metros, Chair. Thank you.
Can I hear from members on the proposal?
Again, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think it does make sense, unless there's some hidden TA agenda. I don't know, but on the surface, I agree with it. What's the hidden agenda, Willie? You jumped up to support it, and what's going on here, Dennis? Willie hadn't come in, I would have thought, okay, it's fine. But now there's a heavy agenda here, Chairperson. I don't know what it is, but it's fine, Chairperson.
Chairperson, what is a happy thought for me today is that it seems that Eunice and the DA is agreeing more and more on the same thing. So I think our influence over this term has reaped the fruit.
No. Chairperson, okay, so the agenda is the other way around. They are being
okay. Honorable Dennis Ryder, 6.8.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, so this one again relates to the fact that government should consider reversing budget cuts to key programs that will impact its ability to implement industrial manufacturing and export programs to improve economic growth. It doesn't say what they can do to counter that. Now, like we keep on saying, is that every budgetary give or take, or every budgetary give has got some take attached to it. And I thought, therefore, that we should include something that other programs that are not adding similar value should be reviewed for the cost and benefit. So what I said was just perhaps to add at the end there, and I'm not sure who's typing, but to type in and reevaluate all other programs for cost and benefit.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Ryder. Can I hear members?
The Chair.
Yes, Honorable Njatu.
Honorable Chair, I think the 6.8 as recommended by COSATU is giving very much clarity on exactly what they want to recommend. Because if we look 6.8, can we move on? 6.8, because what COSATU is saying here, the committee notes COSATU's, the recommendation of COSATU that government should consider reversing budget cuts to key programs. I think that must be underlined, the key programs that will impact on its ability to implement industrial manufacturing and export programs to improve underlying economic growth. I think that full sentence is giving the full meaning as to what the recommendation is. So I think to add on it is taking away the full meaning as to what COSATU is recommending. So I would say that let's leave it like that as the recommendation is outlining. That will be my point, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay, there are two views on the table. Can I hear from members?
Chairperson, I think Mr. Njadu does cover them, really. I don't have a strong view either way, Chairperson. Maybe you can just guide us.
Okay, I see on the chat, Honorable Ryder is asking where will the money come from? But then we have had an engagement with COSATU in as far as this is concerned. I don't know if this question was not asked. And we have also just taken a resolution or a recommendation on 6.5, where we say PBO must make a study to guide us if what we are recommending or what is recommended here by COSATU is feasible, and feasible in terms of the sources. Financial resources, where will we source the money? Or where can we say to Treasury or to government or cabinet, you can source money by reevaluating all other programs or costs and benefits? Because if we say all other programs, then we will remember the issues we have raised when we were dealing with the Division of Revenue Bill and Amendment Bill, whereby we were complaining that these monies cannot be shifted from, you know, we raised more on SAPS and teachers, you know, those departments that rely more on personnel. So I don't know. We need to apply our minds correctly here.
Chair?
Yes, Mr. Domo?
Yeah, if I may assist, Chair, thanks. Chair, I think, Chair, when you read the recommendation from where it says that government should consider reversing budget cuts to key programs that will impact on its ability to implement industrial and manufacturing and so forth and so forth. What is more important, Chair, that members should note is that National Treasury does the cost benefit analysis exercise before cutting budgets on specific programs. However, I must emphasize, Chair, that there is a specific criteria that National Treasury follows to actually identify programs where cuts can be made. And that criteria could include under expenditure of certain program, under performance of certain program because of various reasons, And I think one most important issue that the committee has been raising over time has been that cuts should not happen on programs that will affect service delivery. Equally so as the ability to implement these programs that are outlined here is also important. But I just wanted to speak on the evaluation, on the point that is raised by Honorable Ryder, that there's a need to reevaluate all other programs for cost benefit, to say before budget cuts are done, which is covered on the recommendation itself, those cost benefit analyses are actually conducted on those specific programs where budget would be cut. Thanks, Chair. So including the last part that Honorable Ryder is raising, really would not make any impact as far as the recommendation is. Yes, as far as the recommendation is concerned, because that cost benefit analysis is actually done before the cuts are done. Cuts are not just done, Chair, willy-nilly. They are done following a specific process, which includes that cost benefit analysis, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think Honorable Ryder, your point is covered in the main recommendation. Can you move to, it's now 9:17. Can you go to 6.8?
Chairperson, this is my last input on this report, and it's merely to say, it was 6.9 that I wanted to comment on.
Oh, it's 6.9.
Yeah.
Okay. And
yes, it's 6.9 and 7, remember?
Yeah. 6.9, Chair, I note that the wording has been changed from the draft that was given to us as well. The draft said that the committee agrees with, and I see it now says that it notes. So I'm covered on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We are now moving. Anything that any member wants to raise before we go to 7? Let's go to 7.
Chairperson?
Okay. Estelle?
Thank you, Chair. Just one matter, if the committee agrees or not, I just want to raise it. We discussed it before between the Babalu and Pelalani and myself that the wording of those, I think it's from 6.6 onwards. 6.5, the committee notes and supports, and then we say that it should be followed up. But 6.6 onwards, up until 6.10, the committee is noting. So, in effect, the committee is not recommending anything. So, our view, Lubabalo and myself's view, was that these actually need to be located under findings and observations because there's no recommendation of the committee. Where Pelalani's view was, if it's under there's no obligation for the executive to follow up. So Lubabalo and I would like to just propose, if the committee doesn't agree, it's okay, that we move those 6.6 to 6.10, where we say the committee notes XYZ, we move it to findings and observations, and then we add one recommendation to the effect that National Treasury and these relevant departments should follow up on numbers 5.12 to 5.16 above and report back to the committee within, say, 6 months or 3 months or whatever. We just, Lubabalo and I was just concerned, we were trained very strictly that recommendations must be recommendations. If we say the committee notes something, then the committee is not recommending, then it's just a finding.
Okay, I think you're correct because that will also help us to can follow up and do our oversight to hold the executive accountable on our recommendations. And that will be resolutions if the report is adopted in the House. Do members agree with that?
Definitely agree, Chair.
Agree, Chairperson. Okay, 7, Honorable.
Chair, before you go to 7.
Yes, Chair.
I just wanted to remind Mr. Karim that on 6.12, there are some few issues that he has raised to rework that particular recommendation. I just want to remind him to actually send us those two paragraphs that he has raised, because we could not capture them as he was speaking.
Chairperson?
Yeah. Which one, Jomo?
Yes, on 6.12, Chair, there are paragraphs that Honorable Karim has added as part of the recommendations to rework this 6.12. So I would like to remind him to actually send us that rough, he said it's rough, it's still rough draft of those paragraphs, so we can rework them and modify the recommendation as such. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson.
And it covers what Honorable Ida have raised.
Yes, Chair.
Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Karim.
Yeah, firstly, I got cut off for a while, so I don't know what happened. It reconnected automatically. I don't know what's happening this morning. It works and then it doesn't work, but I don't know what was discussed. But on that matter, I have, while we were engaging, typed something out. So let's just read it, Chairperson, and nobody feels that somehow you as the chair and Lubabalo, I mean, Pelelani slid things in. So, you know, basically, I think that what we want to do is separate gender budgeting and gender mainstreaming. That's been there since, 1996, you recall. So this is something specific. So I just thought we should say the committee fully supports gender budgeting and gender mainstreaming, full stop, right? Then we say the committee fully supports, rather than say fully supports gender, we can just to repeat fully, we can tweak the words, right? Between Pelelani himself and me. But the point is the committee fully supports the rights, needs and interests of the LGBTQIA+ community and requests National Treasury to in future explicitly set out what cross-cutting funding furthers this. The National Treasury and Cabinet should look into these matters very closely henceforth. Meaning, we don't just wait for the next MTEF cycle. They must look into it for the budget and from here, because here we're recommending what goes in to the new budget and so on. Then the 6.14, let's not, having heard Dennis and, agreeing with everything he said about the relationship between civil society and ourselves and listening to you as well, I think we should have a separate point then, a 6.13 that will read something like this. It's a generic point. It could apply to anybody, Chairperson. I mean, there was a guy last year in the last term, you'll recall what happened, right? It almost became a fisticuffs. The committee fully recognizes that this parliament belongs to the people of this country and public participation is utterly crucial to its effective functioning. Whilst the committee welcomes and encourages civil society to engage robustly with us, this has to be done in a way that is consistent with Parliament's rules, norms, and procedures, and with the necessary decorum. While civil society must be fully heard and its views are given due consideration, ultimately, it is the elected members of Parliament in a democracy that have to take final decisions after taking into account various competing interests. That's all. You see, Chairperson, can I just suggest something to the committee, in case some of you may not be familiar with this? There is a school of thought, and I must confess, I also, when I was a student, Chairperson, believed such things, right? Although as you get older, you get more sedate and more practical. And as you get into power, so to speak, from 1994 onwards, as a majority party, you realize that many things you had idealistic views about in the 1970s. And that was the heyday, remember? Chairperson, you and I will. I can't think of the student uprising in Paris and elsewhere and the national liberation struggles triumphing in the developing countries and social democracy and what have you. So in that milieu, what we had was a view which I know at least one of them does share or did have at least 15 years ago, which is that people from below must shape policies, right? It's the whole idea of the people's commune from below. It's actually a non-Marxist, anarchist, left-wing view that, you know, parliaments and political parties are inevitably oligarchic and authoritarian. We were told we're disgusting and all that. That seems to fit into that. I can't speak for them. But they have a view, and that's what, you know, we must understand them, actually. And why we might not agree with them. They feel that, you know, this is a popular, it's like a constituent assembly for them, I think. At least one of them, I think. I haven't spoken to the person in 15 years, Chairperson. That seems to be an explanation. It's not just a matter of attitude or style or insistence that my view gets agreed to, no matter what's happening in Parliament. It's actually a disdain for, I think, the Parliament, not necessarily them, but there's a view and thinking that I've come across. And I must say, Chairperson, to some extent, I did share those views in the 70s, at least, right? That you don't have, like, a Parliament. You have people deciding for ourselves, the Paris Commune idea. That may influence partly what they did, right? So, but I'm just saying, therefore, we have to tell them, in a democracy, this is how it works. Nothing stops them from standing for election. Nothing stops them from having a PCB platform. Nothing stops them, more specifically, one that takes sexual and gender multiple identities as a platform. I mean, it's happening in Europe. So, you know, in short, let's deal with civil society generally. So that's my idea. I can send the text to all the members. But thank you. Yeah.
Can I suggest that you send the paragraphs to Lubabalo and Jomo?
Right.
The suggested, I think we have had the content and we are not dismissive. We agree fully with the content as you present it. Thank you very much, Honorable Karen. Honorable Dennis Ryder, it is now 26 minutes past nine.
Sure, Chair. Just on the conclusion, my only inputs were that the Democratic Alliance is going to reserve its position at this stage. But I do want to say well done on a comprehensive and well-compiled report. Thank you, Chair.
You know, the contradictions that you were talking about.
Yeah, give us a point of order. How can you say, Chairperson, you have to take my point of order? I'm acting within parliamentary rules.
Okay.
Point of order.
I'm not
saying that. Does Parliament allow a member to be so contradictory? Is it allowed in terms of the rules?
I'm not saying that.
Very good report, but I have to reserve. Yeah.
Honorable Karim, can I call for a mover of the adoption of the report, please?
Sorry, Chairperson and Honorable Karim, there is a hand from Honorable Dudoit, Chair. Sorry about that.
Yeah, now I'm calling for, maybe he wants to come after it has been adopted. I usually start with the adoption. I will come to you, Honorable Dudoit. Can I get a mover? Honorable Karim, you're moving.
Yes, Chairperson, on behalf of Dennis, who can't actually move because his party says he has to reserve, but I'm doing it on his behalf. Thank you.
And thanks for the good job to both of you. Now I see the agenda. Can I get a seconder?
A second, Mama Rukhani, second.
Thank you, Honorable Mama Rukhani. Can I get a view from Honorable Ryder? What were you saying? We must know.
No, the Democratic Alliance definitely reserves its position on this one, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Dudoit.
Thank you. Chairperson, we definitely understand.
Honorable Dudoit.
Thank you, Chair. The Freedom Front Plus reserve our position.
Ntate Mletsane.
PFF reserves this position, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you go to the next report. Honorable members, please let's try not to talk too much. We have a few minutes left for us to go to the house. The second report, Lubabalo. Lubabalo, are you there? Okay. Let's go to observations. Is there something that you have identified, members, before we go to observations? Let's go to the next one. Next, move down or up.
So, Chair, on 9.1, if I may.
Yes.
Thank you. Chair, maybe I want to make a point before I get into that and just say that, you know, the scheduling of today's House sitting in conflict with our committee meetings when we knew what business we had to do is most unfortunate. And the reality is that placing pressure on us passing these reports is a little bit unfair. I think I understand there's a need for brevity, et cetera, but you know, the compression of this program has really been problematic, and to sacrifice quality of the reports as a result, I think is a little bit unfair on us as a committee. So yeah,
Having said that, let's get into it, Chair. The majority of my inputs on this all revolve around the same issue, and that is this 9% of the national fiscus that's allocated to local government and the move of it to 9.6%. And I'm going to bash on this on several of my inputs, but I'll start with a simple one and just say that this is that the committee welcomes the proposed allocation, blah, 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 and 9.6% to local government over the next 3 years. But we don't think that it's sufficient. And it was generally held across all the parties that we still don't believe that the move from 9 to 9.6% is sufficient. And I thought that that needed to be noted in this paragraph, perhaps by adding a line that at the end that says exactly that. The increase to 9.6%, while appreciated, is insufficient.
Is that the view of the committee? Honourable members, is this the view of the committee?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair, I certainly agree.
Who was, I know, Honourable Okamp, you can't disagree. Okay, thank you for agreeing. Can I hear other members?
The TOI supports the proposal, Chair.
I'm not so clear as to exactly what Honourable Ryder is the context.
Honourable Ryder is speaking about the 9.6%. To local government for the next 3 years. I don't know if you can see it on the screen.
Chairperson, isn't that what we believe in anyway? That more should be allocated to local government, provided, of course, they spend it properly. That is consistent with what we say.
That's what he's saying, that we should add that the 9.6% is not enough.
Yeah.
So I wanted
to shouldn't we add what we say? And we urge local government to spend money allocated to it from the national fiscus more productively and effectively. But he's right. I mean, it's consistent with what we say.
Honorable Njatu, are you on par now?
As the sentence, Chair, as the sentence is here, putting that 42% to provide and 9.6, what's happening now? Okay. 9.6% to local government over the next 3 years. I'm happy as it is now here, Chair.
Okay, let's move.
Chairperson. Moletsane.
Ndata Moletsane.
Yes, I agree with Honorable Ryder. 9.6% is too little.
Okay, let's move. Thank you. Let's move, Lubabalo.
Chair, before you move, we will add I just need clarity, Chair, so that we can, for the sake of scriber, to.
Okay.
Yeah, to scribe. We'll add that input on the second part of the paragraph, which start by saying the committee further notes that the transfer to provinces and municipalities will grow below inflation. I suggest that we add that in that second part of the paragraph. You say the committee feels that the 9.6% increase in local government is still low. And also further note the transfers to provinces and municipalities and then for and so forth and so forth. But I think it will make sense if we locate it there. Thanks.
Okay, I think it does make sense. That you captured it correctly.
I'll send it to Esther. Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that, Chair.
Okay, let's move, Lubabalo.
Chairperson, on 9.3, if I may come in, it says that the committee notes that the provincial equitable share is updated annually. The committee, you know, welcomes the fact that changes will be phased in, etc. The problem is, Chair, that every year, every single year without fail, We have provinces coming in their final mandates and saying that they disagree with the equitable share every single year. So, you know, I just felt that we needed to mention that better communication between Treasury and provinces is required in terms of this going forward.
Can I hear the committee with that proposal from Honorable Ryder?
Chair, Letoy.
Honorable Detoit.
I support Honorable Ryder's proposal, and I want to ask if we can add to that that the spending of the equitable share also be monitored, because we're sitting time and time again with provinces not spending adequately. Obviously, there's a scale to which they spend, but for that spending to be monitored as well, please.
Okay, and I remember that we have also made a special request to portfolio committees to assist us in terms of oversighting and monitoring at the provincial levels, at the local levels. Can you move? Do members agree with that addition?
Yes, I agree, Chairperson. It is true, really, that provinces every year, they are complaining that the equitable share should be revisited. Thank you.
I also agree, Chairperson.
Okay.
There's consensus, Chair. Consensus on the point?
Which point?
That the province is
okay.
Chair.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move, Lubabalo.
Yeah, now, Chair, 9.5, I think we're going to agree to disagree. So I don't think it's worth getting into a debate on that right now.
Okay, let's move.
Chairperson, 9.6. And this goes back to that, interestingly, the 9.6%. So the committee notes that the Colleges of Agriculture will be shifted to the national government, as will the funding provided through the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Grant. Okay, now this is shifting again. So going back to our first paragraph where we were talking about 48% to national, 42% to provinces and 9.6. What this is effectively doing is that it's pretending that money is being put to provinces, but it's actually centralizing. It's making these grants or taking these grants from direct grants to indirect grants and actually putting that spending power back up in the national treasury. Now, I don't want to amend this this paragraph here, but I do want to make the point that these the shifting of grants from direct grants to indirect grants is actually changing the ratio of fiscal allocation between national, provincial, and local. And so, yes, I've added in paragraph 9.10, which again speaks to the fact that, you know, we actually think that we're increasing to 9.6% on local government. We think that the allocation to provinces is increasing. But actually what it is it's a move from National Treasury to have national control over those grants that previously were supposed to be managed in the local government sector. And it's a little bit of centralization of control. Sorry, the screen's making me a bit travel sick as it moves backwards and forwards. Yeah. So, and as a result of that, I specifically wanted to come up with paragraph 10.10, which says that the committee notes with concern the growing trends of allocating indirect grants, which creates a false narrative of increased allocations to local government, when in fact these are merely national department projects being rolled out at a local level, and therefore the committee wishes to emphasize the importance of the three spheres of government and the distinctions between the spheres. The lack of capacity at certain municipalities should not drive a culture of centralized powers and functions that is in direct contradiction of the Constitution. Chair, I feel very strongly about this, and it was part of our discussions, the fact that, you know, the money that's being moved back, the responsibility that's being, you know, usurped and taken back and centralized in the national departments is actually fudging this 9.6%. And in reality, if one takes out the indirect grants, we're going to be actually going backwards, and we're going to be finding ourselves at 8-point-something%. If I may submit that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ryder. Can I hear the members?
Chairperson, can I come in?
Yes, Honourable Karim.
You see, firstly, I think we need a fuller debate. Unfortunately, look, we entirely agree with Dennis. As you know, as committee chairs, we are fed up, right, of this thing of Tuesday mornings being used for the sitting of the House, especially when we're likely to finish at 13:30 today, right? So I think 100% we agree with Dennis, but that's a matter that I think we can do very little more. He must raise it to his chief, as we keep saying. On this matter of what he's saying, you see, firstly, I think this is too strong, Chairperson. I'm guided by the majority, including in my own party, right? Maybe I'm wrong. You see, what I know, partly know and partly said, is it's not a conspiracy, really. As you know, Comrade Che, the ANC, we feel we have a very strong local government model, sphere of government, right? And we are very, very committed to that. In fact, the DA and others complain that what we're going to do is truncate provincial government and then make local government stronger because, you know, one province at least is controlled by, well, now things have changed at local government level. But let's come back to this. You see, on the one hand, when you give grants to municipalities, they don't spend it on what they're supposed to do. Spend it on. Then the province and the national get accused of treasury and other departments that you're not doing your job. Then they say, okay, we're not having any more direct grants. We're going to do it indirectly, right? So that we can manage things better from the provincial and national levels. And then we accuse them of being draconian and taking the powers away. I think we need a softer formulation for this. We need a further discussion on this with Treasury. I would suggest, Chairperson, it's late now. I'll live with this. Something like, I can't think immediately, but you know, we've got good drafters there in Pelelani and Estelle and Lubabalo. Something like, if we agree, we are concerned about the growing trend, which creates a false narrative, fine, right? But then we should say that, right? The lack of capacity should not drive a culture of, you see here, this is the whole thing. The lack of capacity at certain municipalities should not lead necessarily to preventing other municipalities from having, you know, something we can find, doing what they're supposed to do in the constitution. We ask the National Trade to be mindful of the spheres of governments and the respective powers and functions. And the committee reasserts its commitment to a very strong local government sphere. But now to say, talk about a culture of centralization of powers and all, it's a culture. In other words, you're saying it's a way of life. It's the way National Treasury sees itself in the next few years or in the longer term. I think it's rather harsh, Chairperson. Dennis and it may be right, Chairperson, but then if they are right, then we're all on the same page. We have to fight the Treasury and the Executive. But I don't think it's going that far. I think there are practical reasons for it. I think there needs to be a softer version of what's here. But you know what? Fine. If the majority agree with this version, I'm cool. Thank you.
Honorable Njatu, are you fine with this?
Chair, on this point, I think when we put this point in the report, is that we need then further to say that we will have to get an assessment on the direct and indirect grants. So that we have a holistic report in terms of, so that the committee also have a clear understanding as to exactly the impact and how National Treasury is looking at the impact of the direct and indirect grants, and where departments and provinces and municipalities would need support, and how this matter need to be dealt with. So I would then say that let's say that we also have an assessment on this matter. But I would agree that I don't think it's really to say that it's a centralization of powers and functions. So I think that one is not really, it's not so good. Thank you, Chair.
What do you suggest that we do, Honorable Njatu, on
we are consensus on this point, but need also an assessment on the holistic of
the lack of capacity of certain municipalities, yes, should, yes, not drive a culture of centralization of power and functions that is in direct contradictions of the constitution. I heard Honorable Karim was trying to input on this one. He spoke of leading, lead the taking away. Yeah. So we are fine with that addition. So we delete the drive. Honorable members, Honorable Karim, is this how you want
to? Well, we can work on it. See, I see what Dennis is saying. I think we should say that we are concerned about an increasing tendency and so on. But we can't like say it's like a culture of things like that. That really is going too far. It may well become that, but we have to fight it. I mean, I myself, Chairperson, as you know, I've been a local government activist throughout the 80s, right? That was my main sphere of activity. So, you know, I mean, really, and I chaired that committee, and I was once a DM in COCTA. Oh, I also won't agree with these things. What I'm trying to say is that I don't think there's any differences between what Dennis is saying and we're saying. Simply, we need further discussion. So we should say the committee would like something like, we should also say the committee would like this matter to be discussed further with National Treasury. Before, we can't do it before the budget, but in the first quarter of next year, a considered discussion on this issue in the first quarter of next year. When we process the appropriations budget, we should hold them in here before us. Dennis and them are free to say what they want to say. So would IEB, or so would UB, and all of us. We don't want what Dennis is saying to happen. Only we don't think it's right to say it right now. Let's engage with them. There are some things that they're doing in taking over some of these monitoring roles that we have ourselves asked of them and the province. Thank you.
Can we delete the other part below, please? Okay, let's go.
Can we say something, Chairperson, to save time? We're running out of time. You're right. I've forgotten there'll be another report, so I apologize.
We still have another report. Yeah.
So basically, can I quickly say, can't we ask, mandate them to say something like this? The committee wants further clarity or something from National Treasury and needs to engage with it in the first quarter of next year on this issue. So that after that, we can come to some other conclusion. We must express our concern about what seems to be happening, a trend, but we can't say it's a culture. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Don't forget to delete those question marks, or it's just something to remind you to make those additions. Okay. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the report?
Honorable Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Njatu.
Njatu, can I move for the adoption of the report?
Thank you. Seconder? Can I get a seconder?
I second, Chairperson. I've seconded. Okay. Sorry, I was muted. Yeah.
Thank you. Any dissenting view?
Yeah, Chair, if the DA position can be reserved for now, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, the Freedom from Plus reserve our position.
And that day?
EFF reserve its position, Chairperson.
Thank you. I see your hand is still up, Honorable Eunice Karim. Can you get the last report, Mabalo?
Chairperson, we are done with reports now. We are going to move to the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Oh. I thought we had three reports. Okay.
No, it's two, Chair.
Okay. Let's go to minutes. And page one of the minutes, attendees. Check the spelling of your surnames, names, and stuff. And page two. Still under attendees. Page three. Page four, honorable members. Page five, adjournment. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Chairperson, if I can come in.
Yes, Honorable Dennis Ryder.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, yeah, before I move, and I will move for the adoption of the minutes, I did note that following up on this, that Mr. Njadu had a few things to say about the, in his debate the other day, about the negotiating mandates. And he actually quoted from the bill that covers the negotiating mandates. And it's the act is called the Mandating Procedures of Provinces Act 2007. I do want to just make the point that he quoted selectively from that. And on voting mandates, if you look at paragraph 8.2 of that act, it says that the it makes it clear that the select committee can have other matters that it deliberates on, which may, you know, inform the province's mandates a little, or may differ a little bit from the province's mandates. So, Honourable Njadu, please read the full act, and then we can continue this debate in the new year. Having had that little side swipe, Chairperson, I move for the adoption of these minutes.
Can I get a seconder?
I'll second, Willie.
Thank you, Honourable Members. For those who are local, let's rush to the...
Chairperson, there's one set of minutes.
Last set, Chairperson, on the screen.
Last set. Oh, no. Finance is the first item. Okay.
No, Chairperson, it's not the first as far as I know.
Oh, it's high.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it takes us one minute to switch over, Chairperson. We're not driving. Oh.
You are not driving.
Oh, you're driving. We are sorry. Physical. Oh, okay.
Oh. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Can I get them over?
Chair, these are excellent minutes, well crafted, and I move for the adoption.
Thank you, Chair.
I second.
Thank you, Honorable Njadu. Honourable members, let's...
Sorry, Chairperson, there's one more set of minutes from the... It won't take even a minute, really, from the Finance Committee.
Are you serious, Honourable Karim?
Yeah, we asked for that. I spoke to Nkululeko, didn't he speak to Lubabalo? I didn't raise it with you, I'm sorry. Right, there's the minutes. Yeah, there's it on the screen, hopefully, but basically it was sent out to members. We considered the adoption of the committee's reports on the three tax bills, and basically it was moved and seconded by those people, and the reports have been tabled there, and then you got the last page. It simply says, I thank all the members and staff, the chairperson did, for their dedication and hard work throughout the year. That's all. Can we have a mover and a seconder? So we don't have to do this next year. We're done. This is our last set of minutes.
Chairperson, the minutes are correct. And can I
move on? Brief. They simply say, we had the meeting, we voted on the bills. These are the people who have moved and seconded. And then the chairperson thanked everybody. Yes, okay, you move. Seconder.
I move adoption.
Seconder. There's no seconder. Oh, dear.
I'll second.
Thank you. We're done. Thank you all. Chairperson, we got a good 6 minutes.
Thank you.
You can switch your cell phone on while you're driving. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.